Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray that this podcast will help you on that journey.
Well, I want to continue on today with what I started last week. We start talking about faith and the life of faith, living by faith. Living in faith, having the faith of God. I want to continue some of that today. It's such an important element of who we are and what the kingdom is made up of that, in our Western mentality, intellectual mentality, it's odd to have faith. It's an odd thing. It's an oddball thing. You are oddballs. In the world, if you believe in God, if you believe that there was a creator, though honestly, I think it takes a lot more faith to believe there isn't a God than that there is. He's given us so much that points right to him, that says there is a God, that says the Bible says that everyone is without excuse even. I mean, that's how much there is. There's so much that everyone is without excuse. But it is odd in our culture to believe in God, and not just to believe in, but to follow him, to believe his words that he says, and to step out on those words. And to trust those words, and to believe that you're receiving things that are invisible. That's this life of faith that we've been called to. It's amazing we have these real physical bodies, yet we've been called to live by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, accessing things in the Spirit that you cannot see. This is the life we get. It's a wonderful life, but we have to live by faith. We can't live by our brains. We cannot live by just what we think makes sense all the time. It's great to have common sense. I mentioned that last week. We need common sense. But we also need to live by faith. You know, everything that we get in God, we get by faith. Salvation, how did you get that? You got it by faith. Healing, you get that by faith. What we get in God, we get by faith in him. And so as I shared last week, I have had a bit of a roller coaster ride in my life with faith, to be honest. And the times where I've been low on faith, I told the story about losing my contact lens in my right eye, and then the glass lens in my right glasses, and then my right headlight. And till I finally said, Lord, what's going on? And he said to me, Matt, you've lost your faith. You're not living by faith anymore. So he was encouraging me to repent, to change my way of thinking, and to grab hold of faith again and not live in Christian cruise control. Wow. You know, it's so easy to live in Christian cruise control. You just, you do this and you do that, and every day we just do that and do this. But the Lord wants us to believe, to go for things, to step out on his word, to trust him and entrust him every day. And when we're praying for others, that's living by faith, because you're asking God, you're transacting with heaven on behalf of someone else. That's living by faith. And when I'm in Christian cruise control, I'm usually not asking God for things for other people. It might just be emergency things for me. But the Lord wants us to live by faith. It's such a wonderful thing. It's a necessity. I believe it's an eternal necessity, to be honest. And I could be wrong. This is Matt's view, but it says in Corinthians that these three remain: faith, hope, and love, right? So we know that they remain. They're going to be here for a long time. And I just have this sneaky suspicion that when we get to heaven, we will still need faith. I think it will be different because we will see him as he is. We will be changed. I think our faith will go through the roof. But I still think, I believe God has made us to not just exist eternally, but to partner with him eternally. Who knows the kind of things he has for us beyond this breathing that we have here? We need faith for it for now, probably more than ever, but I believe we still will need faith. When my kids were little, I would tell them stories at night, make up stories. One of the stories I'd make up, I knew they were into superheroes and all that kind of stuff, so I said, okay, here's a story. Here's you and your brother and your brother and your brother and your brother. and we are in heaven. And the Lord looks at you and says, okay, boys, I got a mission for you. There's this planet on the other side of the universe that I want to take over, and I'm sending you to go do it. So here you go. You're flying across the universe faster than light speed, and you're getting there, and you're taking over whatever creatures are there. And you have to believe that Jesus is going to work through you when you get there. So, you know, I just make up stories like that. But I don't know that that's going to happen. But I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. Think about this. This life here is the training ground for what's ahead. So if we need faith here, I think we might want to grow it here so we can use it even more later for all the things God has for us. We're here to be partners with Jesus. When he returns, we're partnering with him, not just now, we're partnering with him now too, but we're partnering with him as he rules and reigns. The kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and we are ruling and reigning with him. It's pretty amazing. Beyond what we can imagine, what we can think. There's a scripture that has been rolling around in my head on repeat for 25 years. And it's John 14:12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall you do, shall he do, because I'm going to the Father. Jesus said that. That's in red. And he said, truly, truly. He said it twice. He's emphasizing this is a truth. And I love this next part. He who believes in me. He's not saying he who is an apostle. He's saying he who believes in me will do the works that I'm doing. Oh my goodness, that is super exciting to me. That is Jesus grabbing a hold of the box of the impossible and ripping the lid off and saying, I desire that you would function like I'm functioning. I desire that you would have the love of the Father in you that's going to cause your joy to go crazy. And I'm desiring that you would do the things that I'm doing. And I know there's a whole section in Christianity that says all those things were just for the first century. No longer anymore. But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus didn't say that. He didn't stop it. He didn't put a lid on it. He ripped it off. And he's asking us to partner with him in the earth to do his kind of things. And even greater things. I mean, isn't that like a father? You want your kids to go beyond you. Jesus is saying, I want you to do what I'm doing, and then I want you to go beyond me. Do even greater works than I've done. That is ridiculous. That breaks the power of a religious spirit right there, too. I'm telling you what, it is the opposite of a religious spirit. Safe, controlled, intellectual, just line by, you know, check the box. No. Jesus is saying, I want you to do some stuff. Partner with me. What we're going to need is faith. We have to have faith to do this. We have to have faith in God. We have to have faith in the Spirit. We have to have faith in what he's put inside of us. We have to trust him and step out to see the works of Jesus and the greater works. You and I have been metamorphized. You've gone through metamorphosis. We're new creatures. We're new creation. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4, the job of leaders is to equip you to do the works of Jesus. Right? It's not for me to do all these works, which I want to too, but we are all in on this. We all get to do the works of Jesus. There's much more to life than being a roving human library of Christian information. You know, that's not your calling as a Christian, to just walk around with scriptures in your head, though it's wonderful to have. We need the word in us. As Jeremiah said, he ate it, became in him. We want the word in us, but we're not just supposed to have it in us. We're supposed to have it to take action, to do things, to proclaim things. like Josh sharing just a moment ago, sharing words of life to people, releasing heaven through us. It's the intention of Jesus to do that through us. All right. I walked into a little tiny studio apartment of a friend of mine. He was 87, I was 18. He was my mentor and best friend for a couple of years when I lived in Arizona. And I'd go visit him nearly every week. Drive up there as a teenager to go listen to this guy. He had been an Assembly of God pastor for 40 years, retired, knew God like nobody I've ever known to know God. He was always, you could see six angels in his apartment all the time. People, he'd keep his phone off the hook because people were calling him from around the world all the time for prayer. And they'd line up at his door, like I did, just to get some time with him as he prayed and heard from heaven. And I went over to his house one Saturday, this is when I'd go. When I walked in the door, his name was Joe Williams, he said, Matt, you're really low on faith today. Now, that sounded like a negative thing. Could have felt like, well, why aren't you being so mean? No, it didn't feel that way. It was as if he was reading the meter on my dashboard, my spiritual dashboard, and it was on E, on empty. And when he said it, I knew it to be true. It was just like, yep. He said, you want to get filled back up? You want your faith to increase? I said, yes. So he started talking to me, and we prayed, and I asked the Lord, get me back in faith. Get me back in faith. And the Lord, and he showed me how to get refilled with the Holy Spirit. There are many fillings. Holy Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit every day, new fillings of him. And I needed my faith to grow. He actually saw that I was low on the Holy Spirit as well as faith. You're low in the Holy Spirit. And so there is a place where we need to get our faith exercised and growing. We want our faith to grow. Faith really is like a muscle. It grows with use. It grows with use. And everyone, the Bible says that everyone's been given an amount of faith. Every person. So we all have an amount to start with. It's like we all have a certain amount of muscles to start with. But we can grow them by exercising our muscles. And we can grow in our faith by exercising our faith. And I think asking God for more as well. But as we step out, and trust him, faith grows. And faith is a beautiful, spectacular thing. I want to talk about that here just a little bit more about what Jesus sees. In Mark chapter 5, verse 25, I'm going to read this. She'll be up there starting with verse 25. A woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him, behind Jesus, snuck up behind him, and touched his cloak, for she thought in her head, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. Immediately, the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Drop down to verse 34. And Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your afflictions, of your affliction. That is beautiful. Here's what I mean, one of the things that struck me when I read this is that I see a woman sneaking up on God and without permission, pulling from him what she needed for her body to be healed. Without permission. She is creating theology and messing with other theology by her actions, by her faith. Faith goes around the lines and the boundaries of good theology, and goes right up to Jesus. and grabs a hold of what she needs from him, knowing he is so good anyway. And she pulled from him power by her faith. Faith in this woman had a demand, and it pulled power through Jesus' clothing into her body, healed her all the way. And Jesus was not perturbed at all. He was not bothered one bit by it. In fact, he turns to her and first calls her daughter. That's beautiful. You're a daughter. You're in the family. You're a daughter. You are loved. You're taken care of. And it's every right of a daughter to go up behind God and get what she needs. Your faith has made you well. The faith inside your heart, that idea that came out of your heart into your head that said, if I would just touch him. Now, that is not written anywhere in the Bible that I know of. It wasn't written anywhere. She didn't have permission from the scriptures in that sense. But it rose up into her mind, and she just said, I'm going to do that. That's faith. Going after God. He's so good. So wonderful. I want to live a life where I pull out of Jesus the things that he has to give. What if, you know, I don't think we can really ever sneak up on God, but we can, you know, he's our father. He's our father. I mean, my kids, especially when they were little, they still ask me for stuff, but when they were little, I mean, they would sneak up on me. They will grab, they will pull, they want a dollar, they want, you know what, all kind of stuff. You love these kids. The Father loves us, and he loves to give things away. He paid for healing. He paid for the help that we need, the rest that we need. We want to touch him with faith. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come make that exchange with me. Bring what you've got, heaviness, anxiety, stress, pressure, sickness, disease, whatever you've got, come to me, whatever is heavy on you, and we'll make an exchange. You give me what you have, I'll give you what I have, rest. But come this way. Chase me down. Follow me around. Touch me. Sneak up behind me. I will give you what you need. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8, starting with verse 5. It says, and when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him and saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just stay right there and say the word, and my servant will be healed. Incredible faith. Verse 9, for I also am a man under authority. I understand how authority works here. I've got soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, he goes. I say to another, come, he comes. I say to my slave, do this, he does it. Verse 10, now when Jesus heard this, he, I don't know what your translation says, mine says marveled. He marveled. Jesus, we're talking about God here. God marveled. And said to those who were following him, it's like, hey, everybody, hold up. Truly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. This guy is not a Jew. This is a Gentile. This is a Gentile who has so much faith, I want to just tell everybody about it. Jesus is marveling. You know, that word marvel is pretty remarkable. It means to be in wonder and awe, like awestruck, jaw dropping open, in awe. I've been in awe, and I've marveled at several things. I remember being in the Alps in Switzerland, at the top of a mountain, look at all the other mountains, and you just stare in wonder at the vastness and the size and the splendor. I've been under the ocean 100 feet looking at thousands of fish all turning in unison with spectacular colors. You just, well, that's where I told you the story. I sucked the air all out of my tank. Just in awe, wonder at all of this. I've been in awe and wonder when these five sons were put in my arms. The very first day they were born, and you look at them and you go, this is a man child. This is a human. This is someone made in the image of God. Another human being has just been created and is in my arms. And the DNA is a mix of my wife and I. This is mind-blowing. This is mind-blowing. I'm in awe. I marvel at this. And then you've got Jesus, the creator of everything. He was with the Father, right? Before time ever started, before the clock ever began. He is with his Father creating the universe. All things were made by him and through him, right? He made all of the planets, all the stars, all of the galaxies, the entire universe, the earth, all the animals. I haven't found a scripture yet where God is caught marveling at the spectacular things that he made. You don't see him looking at Orion and just like, ah, man, that's something. What you find is Jesus stopping in his tracks, jaw perhaps dropping open, and marveling at something invisible to you and I. Faith. The faith inside of a Gentile person caused Jesus to marvel. He could see it. He could see faith. Sometimes I can't, but Jesus can. He's watching faith. He's looking for faith. The question I asked, that Jesus asked, is when he returns to the earth, will he find faith on the earth? Will there still be faith in him when he returns? He marvels, God marvels at our faith. That is stunning. That tells you a little bit of how important and powerful this is, that he's given us some of what he marvels at, and he allows us to grow it. Allows us to grow it where it's become so beautiful that he can marvel at the faith inside of us. I want him to marvel at the faith inside of me like he did at the centurion, the Gentile. I'm a Gentile too. Doubt is an enemy in every part of life. You know, when you are looking for a spouse or looking for a job, you need to have some confidence. You need to have some confidence. God-given confidence. I don't need to be doubting everything. When we are a believer, we can sometimes get our enemies mixed up. The enemies are not people. Here's an enemy, doubt. Doubt and fear wants to keep us from having all the faith that we're supposed to have, from walking in the faith that God wants us to walk in. So what if we saw doubt as an enemy of ours? I looked at it that way and did not allow it to trespass in our hearts and minds. Said, doubt, no, 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 no. You're not here for that. That is not what I'm allowing to reside inside of me. I am only allowing faith in him to reside inside of me. Well, boy, so many times we can mix up our enemy and go against people when it really is against the powers and principalities and spiritual darkness, right? It's against doubt and fear, that unbelief. Those are the real enemies. So I need to see it that way in my life. I've been in places where someone shares a story, a testimony of God doing something incredible. I love hearing testimonies. And faith rises in the room. You guys know what this is like. hear someone tell a story about what something God has done, and it's like faith just like fills the atmosphere. It's a wonderful thing. That's why we want to do it a lot, so that our faith increases and we thank God and we then feel maybe encouraged to go do the same type of thing or pray for someone in the same way or lead someone to Jesus. But when I think of when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, what do you think the atmosphere was filled with? It wasn't that. I think it was the exact opposite. I think it was an atmosphere of sorrow and grief and mourning and lots of difficult. I think the atmosphere was cold. It was not an environment where faith just rose up. But Jesus is there. And he brings with him a different atmosphere. He brings with him another atmosphere. And his faith in his Father and what his Father had asked him to do was strong. And he speaks into the atmosphere where there isn't faith with faith. He just breaks through the atmosphere and he starts to say something so interesting. He says, "Father, I thank you that you heard me." So he's thanking his Father for a prayer he prayed before he got there that the Father heard. He says that out loud. "Thank you that you heard me." And then he goes on and says, "I'm praying now this prayer so that everyone who can hear me now will believe that you sent me." And then he says, "Lazarus, come forth." Right cutting through the atmosphere where there isn't faith. And a dead man had been there 4 days, smelly, wrapped up, walks out of there. And when I think of Jesus doing that, I also think of what he is wanting us to do. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also." That we are to be atmosphere changers and breakers with the faith in God in moments that feel the exact opposite. You will find yourself, I found myself, you have already, I'm sure, we will have more to come, where the atmosphere that you walk into is the exact opposite of faith, the exact opposite of hope, the exact opposite of joy. Yet we are to bring something that's not there before we got there. Faith that God is the God of the impossible. Faith that God is the one who hears our prayers. Faith that he desires to do something wonderful for other people in this place. Faith changes the atmosphere. Remember when King Ahasuerus, I'm not sure how to say his name, he was so taken by Esther that when she went before him, he says, "I will give you up to half of my kingdom. What's your request?" And she requested on behalf of other people that their lives would be spared, their lives would be saved. Of course, you got King Herod. He's impressed by the dancing of Herodias, it's his daughter, and asked her, "What do you want?" She says, "I want the head of John the Baptist." She asked for death. Esther asked for life. And that was when the king said, "I'll give you up to half my kingdom." Those were those requests. Well, realistically, you and I have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who lives inside of us and has asked us and invited us to do his works. He's giving us all of the kingdom. Not just, it says, the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I'm grappling with this because I feel like I'm living way below what Jesus invited me into. And I want to, I was reminding myself this morning of a word the Lord spoke through a prophet to me in 1997, April 23rd. Never forget, I carry it around with me all the time. but it speaks of me walking in great faith. It's an invitation that I have yet to fully walk in, and I want to, and I'm choosing to, and I want to see more of God getting glorified, of God touching people's lives so that their diseases are gone, so that they are living fully free, so they are not bound by any darkness or any addiction. I want to see more. I want to walk in this. I'm speaking to myself today. Jesus said in Matthew 17:20, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it will be. That's Jesus' invitation again. Faith the size of a mustard seed, tiny. Matthew 7, verse 7, he said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Everyone who asks receives. But ask, seek, knock, keep knocking. Knock and keep knocking. Ask and keep asking. We will receive. That word that Josh had earlier, don't back up. Don't back up. We got to keep going after it. If we watched someone, which I prayed for, Becky C., before she died, I did not see her healed. I hate that. I wanted to see her healed. I don't understand it. I don't have that figured out. That can do one of two things to me. One, get me to back up. So I'm not praying for anybody anymore. Or, no, I'm going to trust God and pray for another person and pray for the next person and keep praying and keep trusting God and keep going for this. I'm not going to back up. We are not supposed to back up, but keep regathering faith all over again and going for it. Mark 11, verse 22, let's read this. Have faith in God, Jesus said to them. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. That's where you see doubt is an enemy. Doubt, get out of my heart, all the way. I'm believing, I'm trusting you. I'm speaking this out. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, all things for which you pray and ask, everything that you're praying about, everything that you're praying about, believe that you have received it and they will be granted you. These are the words of Jesus again. I'm not making this up. This is Jesus' invitation to us. I know it's much easier to take a bunch of water to pour on this or water this down somehow. But Jesus' invitation is there for me to rise up in faith, to believe, to not put up with doubt in my life, and watch him do things that I can't do, that I can't see. Whenever you stand praying, verse 25, forgive, there's a key in here, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. It's important, I think the Lord threw that in there. If he threw it in there, then it's important that if I have unforgiveness towards someone, that could be a blocker for what God wants to do through my faith for someone. So I want to make sure that I am clean and forgiven everyone. I don't hold anything against anyone. I want no blockers in there. You know, it talks about the way that we treat our wives. I don't want my prayers to be hindered by the way I'm treating my wife in a poor fashion, right? That's a blocker. Unforgiveness is a blocker. I have to make sure I'm completely forgiven everyone who's said anything crazy about me that's not true or true, either way. Especially the accusations. I want to forgive, 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 so that there's nothing hindering God moving through my prayers. And let's do that for all of us, right? I remember this was several years ago. I could share many other stories of other people. I'm going to share those just because it happens to be mine. I remember it clearly. But I was at work. My brother lived with us for a time. He had this really nice truck. and it's a lot of money in the truck. I went to work. He calls me from our apartment and said, Matt, did you see my truck when you left this morning for work? I said, I did not. I wasn't paying attention. I did not see it. He said, it's gone. Someone stole his truck in the night. And he said, my wallet was in there, my cell phone was in there, about everything I own of value was in that truck, and it's gone. I said, I'm going to come home. So I took a break from work. I worked about 10 minutes away. I drove home. I was selling cell phones at the time. This is before I was a pastor. And I get home, and as I'm talking to my brother, sitting across the table, and something rose up in me that was this. It was faith is what it was. To pray that this would not happen. To pray against this thing. So I said, let's pray. His name's Tony. I said, Tony, let's pray. And I prayed this way. This is just what came out of me. It was, Father, whoever stole this truck, I speak that the fear of God would hit them wherever they are. Which is a strange prayer. But the fear of God would hit them wherever they are, and that my brother would get his truck back without damage in Jesus' name. And this is what my wife was sitting there too. She could tell you this story. As I said amen, the phone rang, which was on the table. And I answered it, and he said, is Anthony Peterson there? I said, yeah, this is Officer So-and-so. I handed my brother the phone, and he said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. What? And here's what happened. Someone stole his truck in the night, drove it toward Gastonia. We were in Charlotte at the time. And as he's driving along the road, he just takes a sharp right, drives off the road into a field, opens a door, and runs. He just ran. So the police officer, when they find this truck still running, with the door open, no one in it, they got in the truck, and my brother's wallet is still in there, his cell phone is still in there. But the guy who stole the truck, he left his wallet in there. And the tools in the back that he broke into the truck with. So the officer pulled the driver's license out of the thief, saw his address, went to his house, he was there, and arrested him. And Tony got his truck back with everything that he had, still in there. And it was like, Lord, I like that. Thank you, Lord. My faith got elevated. Tony's faith got elevated. It's like this, thank you, Jesus. We seem to ask sometimes. Sometimes we need to be full of faith when we are saying things and proclaiming things and asking for things. What might God do? Maybe he's not going to do it the way that we think, but he does some stuff. All kinds of wonderful stuff.